Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
We have major injury news from the Bears-Saints game from both teams here with things that have broken the last couple of minutes. Wild gave you the information that Allen Robinson has been downgraded
to doubtful
with the concussion protocol. And Waddle, the Bears did get some news on Michael Thomas.
Yeah, he's out, which is a break for them, but I think they have functioned without Michael Thomas for the majority of the season so far, right? And they still average 385 yards and 30 points per game. So, as I was telling the fellas at the break, neither team wants to be without their top receiver, but I think that it's harder for us to adjust to life without Allen Robinson. It's tougher for us to do that than the Saints to adjust without Michael Thomas.
Right, right. I mean, and like you said, he's been out for one-time disciplinary reasons, a couple of injuries.
Had a high ankle sprain, I believe.
Yeah, so and he's at a couple. So let's talk to John Lester right now. He's been one of our favorites, one of my favorite all-time Cubs players. When he signed that deal in 2015, it changed everything. And he tweeted this morning that regardless of what's next, he wants to thank the fans for the past 6 years. So this weekend, I'm buying y'all my favorite beer. Make a reservation at Hopsmith Chicago, Lodge Tavern, Butch McGuire's, or Shenanigans, and your first Miller Lite is on him.
That's why I've made reservations at all four spots.
Just tell him to put it on John's tab. And the man who has the tab joins us on the Corona Hotline right now. It's John Lester. Hi, John.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
We're doing well. How did you come up with this?
Just kind of some brainstorming on what we wanted to do. You know, a couple buddies of mine were talking and trying to figure some stuff out, and we always seem to kind of come back to this. So it's been a process, been a while in the making to get this thing set up, but we finally got it set up and ready to go for this weekend.
A very cool gesture on your behalf, John, and it speaks a lot to how much you valued this Cubs fan base. Just tell us a little bit over the course of the last several years how much it meant to have the support that you had from them.
Oh yeah, I mean, since day one, it's been awesome to be a part of. You know, they've made my family feel like family and accepted us from the beginning. So it's been a fun ride, and hopefully the ride's not over. You know, that's why we wanted to make sure we worded that right and make sure that the door's still open on both ends. And you know, looking forward to hopefully coming back next year.
Yeah, how likely do you think that is the case?
I mean, I hope so. You know, I know a lot going on this, you know, just not only this year, but this off season with teams and especially the Cubs. You know, a lot of uncertainty still going forward with, you know, fans, no fans, you know, what kind of capacity we're going to be at next year. You know, payrolls all the way around. So I know there's some, you know, some doubt as far as the money that's out there, but I mean, I would like to think that we could definitely get this thing done.
When do you believe a decision will be made on that, John?
You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a slow off season for everybody, to be honest with you guys. I would imagine, you know, things really don't start kind of happening until maybe right after Thanksgiving for a lot of guys. So, you know, we'll see going forward how it all plays out. I mean, hopefully sooner rather than later, just so we know. But if not, then, you know, we'll go through the process and hopefully get something done.
What's most important for you, John, in making this decision?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I want to finish my career there. You know, I've been a part of, for an extended period of time, a part of two unbelievable organizations, historic organizations. You know, I don't want to wear another uniform, you know, just for a year, maybe two. You know, I'd like to walk off that field in a Cubs uniform and, you know, and especially in front of the fans. I think that's a big thing for me, is getting the fans back and being able to walk off that field and, you know, really show the appreciation that I have for them.
Is it a big deal to you, John, that the Cubs step up here? Because you decided in 15 to come here. You could have gone back to Boston. You could have made other choices. But you bet on the Cubs. And that was a huge leap, and it opened the window. And I think it's one of the most important free agent decisions an athlete in Chicago has ever made, because it started things. So do you believe that there's a little bit of an owing to you here on their front?
Oh, no. I would never think that or expect that of them. You know, I think that the big thing is communication. You know, I think if we sit down, or if we're able to sit down and have some sort of dialogue between us, it shouldn't be that hard. So, you know, like I said, I think the biggest thing with not only the Cubs, but the entire league is just kind of what's going on in the world. So I think, you know, once we get a better idea of what is going to happen next year, as far as, you know, fans and what owners and stuff can expect on their end, I think then, you know, then you'll start seeing players kind of fall into place. But no, I wouldn't hold that above the Cubs' head at all in regards to what happened in 15.
John, how difficult was it? I know you guys, you didn't play a full season. You only played 60 regular season games. But with all things factored in, how difficult was it to get through that abbreviated season?
It was and it wasn't. I think all the extra stuff made it difficult. I mean, 60 games in baseball is not very much, especially when you're used to, you know, a 7-month season, and to go for two, you know, basically two and a half. You know, it was basically a blink of an eye, but it's, I think all the other extra stuff, you know, all the testing and all the stuff, all the loopholes we had to jump through just to play a game. You know, I think kind of added to everything this year. You know, it definitely was difficult, and it was difficult for everybody. I mean, it's not something that we had to just go through. So I think, you know, it was a trying season on that side of it. But as far as the games and stuff, you know, that part of the season wasn't that difficult.
Were you surprised by the lack of offense from your team this season?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those deals, man. I think 60 games, you've got guys that are used to 162, you know, and that goes on the pitcher side as well. I mean, I'm one of those guys that I usually don't get off to a very good start, and then, you know, you kind of settle in as you get going. And we have a few guys that do that, and in 60 games, man, and I think you saw it. You saw the hotter teams, you know, in really make jumps in divisions and the wild card and the standings. So, you know, I think it was just kind of the ebbs and flows of the season. We got, you know, we got cold kind of at the wrong time, and you know, we ran into a team that was playing really, really well at the time, kind of hitting their stride. So, you know, you kind of see the two different sides of a short season like that. You see a team that, you know, doesn't start out great. They don't play for what, 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden kind of hit their stride and get going at the right time and make it, you know, make it through the playoffs a little bit. So, you know, I think it is what it is. I think if you go into a normal season, I think things would have panned out, you know, a little bit differently for us. I think especially going into that postseason.
Physically, John, how do you feel? Do you feel like you got a ton left in the tank?
I wouldn't say a ton, but I've got some in there. You know, I mean, this season for me was a little tough at the beginning, but for whatever reason, I threw the ball a lot better at the beginning. I don't know why, but yeah, I mean, I think physically this year, you know, kind of is what it is. It was kind of almost like a warm up for next year. You know, you really didn't get going, didn't really have a lot of stressful starts and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, I feel good. I felt good physically this year, for whatever that's worth. But, you know, we'll kind of figure it out as we go along the way here.
Cubs great John Lester joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. When you look at the 6 years, and let's just say so far, because hopefully you're back next year, but when you think about your favorite memory, is it when you finally won in the 10th inning? Is it a different game? When I say one, pick one, where do you go to?
Oh, man, I think I pick a year more than just one. I think 15 for me, just to see the guys, you know, that have been a part of the organization for a few years, even just a year, you know, I mean, you lose 90 to 100 games. It's rough on you mentally and physically. So just to see those guys in 15, I mean, we won, what, 96 games that year and finished third, basically.
Right.
So that's pretty unbelievable as it is. We tie for the wild card and we go into Pitt. And to win that game and to see guys' reactions to winning kind of their first playoff game and then to win our first playoff series against the Cardinals, I think was really, really huge. And it was awesome to see guys' reactions like Riz, you know, that had been there for so long with losing and getting his butt beat by the Cardinals and to finally beat them. And to do it at home and to celebrate and do all that stuff, man. I think 15, even though we ran out a little bit of a gas and ran into a really good team, the Mets in the CS, I think that was just a huge, huge year for a lot of guys, you know, kind of that growing year to go through before. And I think that led into us being what we were in 16.
John, from a different perspective, I'm assuming that you were watching the World Series, so I would like to ask you what you thought of what happened with Snell, and hypothetically, if a manager ever tried to take the ball out of your hand at the 75-pitch mark in your dealing, what would your words to that manager have been?
Well, actually, ironically enough, I don't think I watched any other inning except for that inning that he got, or I watched from about the third on of that game. So I saw a little bit and kind of how it unfolded, but you know what, man, I think you look at that team and you look at what they've done and what they were built off of, and that's what they were built off of. So it's hard to argue with that because they were consistent with that all year long. It wasn't just game six that Cashy came out there and took Snell out. So, you know, I don't think it should have been as big of a surprise as people made it to be just because it was that team. I think in certain instances, you know, with all the analytics in the game, you know, sometimes you have to watch the game and you have to watch the other team. And I've been a part of it in the dugout. I've been a part of it on the mound where you feel like you've got the team their backs against the wall, and you make one wrong move and now all of a sudden they get a little spark. And you saw it. I mean, they took Snell out. Snell had him guessing. And they bring in another guy, and it's kind of like, okay, finally we got this guy out of here, you know. So I think you gave life to the Dodgers when you did that move. But like I said, that's what the Rays have done all year. So I don't feel like there should be any fault to anybody there.
But you're not giving the ball up
no,
if someone comes out
fight.
To you.
There's
what about you? Are you giving the ball up?
I mean, we're going to have two pitchers on the mound, but I mean. But I don't know what would happen when the other pitcher got to the rubber. But yeah, I mean, there would be some argument, and you'd see some emotion. But like I said, at the end of the day, like I've always said, but the manager's your boss, so you have to, no matter what you say and how you feel, they're making the decision for the betterment of the team. You know, and I think, yeah, you can voice your opinion, and I think we're all grown men, and we can all handle that, but. You know, the boss makes the decision. The boss makes the decision.
You know, it's interesting you say that, John, because statistically we looked at it, and I believe somebody sent out the stats that for all the pitchers that made 12 starts or more this year, Snell had the worst numbers after the 75-pitch mark of any the other pitchers. So to bolster your point, it's what they had done all year long.
Yeah, and like I said, I think you take the individual team. I think you have to look at that. You know, I don't think you can look across the board at, let's say, a Kershaw or somebody else in that situation on another team where they haven't done it all year, and all of a sudden the manager comes out there and taking the ball out of your hand. So I think you look at the individual of what Tampa Bay Rays have done And I think Kevin Kiermaier said it too. He's like, listen, we lived and died by this all year, and it worked for us. It got us to this particular point. It just didn't work tonight. So obviously everything's magnified in a do or die game. And you know, you kind of have to live with those decisions, but I do give credit to Cash for being consistent with this program that they've had all year long. And that's all you can really, you know, kind of expect from a manager, is just being consistent and I guess being respectful and mindful of everything that's going on. I think Cash did that.
John, as we talk about this Miller Lite thing, where you're buying all the fans a beer this weekend, I asked you about on the field memories. Is there a weekend? Is there a party? Is there a gathering? You know how Chicago is. It's a great town, not only for an athlete, but also to get great dinners and to go out to the bars. Is there one that you remember out with the boys more than others?
I think it goes back to 15. We beat the Cardinals, and everybody ended up kind of back at my house, and you know, next thing you know, you got Eddie Vedder having a jam session on my above my garage out there outside with everybody singing, you know, Someday Cubs Will Go All the Way. So I think that was probably the most memorable night in Chicago for me.
That's awesome. Yes. And do you believe Theo will be back? You know, we asked you about you. Do you have any indication that Theo won't be back?
I don't think so. I think he will. I'm sorry. I think he will be back. You know, I think what's he got? One more, you know, kind of like the rest of the team, it seems like, has one more year together. So I would think that he finishes that out. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know, but yeah, I think he finishes that out and kind of rides off into the sunset and finds probably another project that he'll rebuild into another champion. So,
well, John, we want to thank you. For me, not only as a host and you coming on throughout the years, and hopefully we'll get to do a few more of these as a Cub, but as a Cubs fan as well, for giving us some of the best memories we've ever had as Cubs fans. So thank you, and we appreciate the friendship.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it.
There you go. There's John Lester joining us. He's going to buy a Miller Lite for every Cubs fan at all the places.
He's got to be a top five guest on our show over the last six, however many years, right? Six
he
or seven
always
years?
Has thoughts, yes. And it's like what you've always said, Waddle.
Willing participant, yes. For sure.
He'll give you his thoughts on a Blake Snell. He'll talk about his favorite night out. He'll tell you about what he thinks is the future. So, again, you make a reservation at Hopsmith's Chicago, Lodge Tavern, Butch McGuire's, Shenanigans, House of Blues, and your first Miller Lite is on Lester. And just say, put it on John's tab. So there
it's
you go.
It's going to be a big tab.
There you go. But Chicago's a big city.
I think he can handle it as well.
He's accomplished big things, yeah. And he's made big cash.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk some Bears. There's lots of news. It's a Football Friday, a matter of fact, so a lot to get after.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie.
And at ESPN _ Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We'll get after the Bears in some great detail coming up. I want to play Matt Nagy from yesterday because we were so caught up with La Russa. Phone line is open all show, 312-332-3776. Whether it's about football, whether you want to talk about La Russa, we've talked to AJ and Lester.
Bunch of our guys!
Kyle Long
is five. He's one of our guys, too.
And Kyle Long, I just heard some of the stuff from Red Lion Radio. It sounds like he wants to come back to football.
Oh, come on. He's teasing. Yeah.
You think he's teasing?
I don't know. Maybe he does, but
he's put on all that
Where's
weight.
Where's he at weight-wise? We'll have to ask him. But he's, you know, he's going to be a success on the television side as well. And he's already
a football
successful.
Player, Waddle.
I get it, but
once that body starts feeling a little better, you know how it is.
No, I don't. I was
You didn't know how it
was. I should have quit earlier.
Let's make it bad again.
Yeah. Like, listen, I'll take Kyle Long healthy on this offensive line any day of the week and twice this Sunday. We could use some healthy offensive linemen that can push some people backwards.
Chris, you have the sound from him from Redline, don't you? Where the guys were asking him, and he would not come back to the Bears. Listen to this. Kyle Long joining us at 5. This was him just a couple of days ago.
And you know what? Everybody's like, will you come back? Will you come back? And I got to be honest, I'm 304. I was 250 on July 4th. And I am in control of my weight. So it goes to show that I am trying to gain weight for any of you idiots that didn't put that together. Oh. But I wouldn't be coming back to play for the Bears. I got to say that because they kicked me out of town. I mean, they really kicked me out of House Hall, right? Like, if you look at it, I'm not the guy that gets dumped by a hot chick. And don't get me wrong, the Chicago Bears, an extremely beautiful girl right down the street, not necessarily neighbor, but girl right down the street, very hot. That's the Chicago Bears in my mind, but they dumped me. So if I do try to come back, it unfortunately won't be for the Navy and Orange. And I gave everything I had. My f-ing limbs are hurting because of it to the Bears.
Well, you talked about, you know, trying to get some dough together during the pandemic. You got to have a number. You got to have Ryan Pace calls. You got to have a number where you're like, you know what? I will take that hot girl back.
I would play for the Bears for significantly less than you think. But unfortunately, I can't put my pride aside and go back to a coaching staff that let me go. And I'm not here to hate on anybody. I mean, look, circumstances where an old, crusty, angry f- keeps getting hurt. He's probably a distraction in the building. He's a goofball, yada, yada, yada. And he's expensive. So at that point, I mean, yeah, I get it. But still, I'm not going back to that. I'd rather go have fun in a new environment. There's a ton of teams out there that probably need O-line, and you guys see that right now. There's a ton of injuries and stuff, so why not throw your chips on the table somewhere? And I'm not saying I would do it this year. I have a great job at CBS, and I really enjoy it.
There you go. That was Redline Radio, the Barstool guy.
Yeah, I'm not shocked at all that the Bears are not part of the equation.
Are you surprised that it sounds like he's going to come back?
Yeah. I am a little bit because I know how banged up he was. Not because I don't think he loves the game, because I think Kyle loves the game as much as anyone. But I think it was the Dan Pompey. Didn't Dan Pompey write the article about all of the physical things that he had to go through, the injuries? Like, I mean, stuff that people never knew. And the severity
shoulder
of it all.
Shoulder was terrible for years. His ankle was jacked.
Yeah, he was so mangled physically. But I guess, you know, your memory is short and your love of the game supersedes any of that. I mean, look, do I think he could come? He's 31. He won't be 32 until December of next year. So, I mean, or I'm sorry, 32 of December of this year.
I was going to say, he goes, wow, that long without a birthday.
Yeah, I know. He's every 14 months. That's why he's young. But, I mean, he'll be 32 this December. Yeah, I guess the more I think about it, it's all about whether or not you want to come back. Like, maybe he has, like, this Gronk revelation. Like, Gronk, I'm not shocked that Gronk came back. I think we always talked about Gronk coming back, didn't we?
Yes,
it just was.
You talk to people. Especially when Brady recruits him, how do you say no?
He needed the break physically. And if you talk to people, they'll hint that he got tired of Belichick.
Belichick, sure. And he still doesn't look like 100% healthy.
No, but he's rounding back into form. I mean, like, Kyle's over 300 pounds. I think by the time the 2021 season kicks off, if he wants to play, he's back to 325, 330.
Here's something that a Twitter follower mentioned to me. I know that the Bears have control with Allen Robinson. But if Allen Robinson doesn't hear his number that he wants, and if Allen Robinson goes through this season, as we continue to document, Waddle, on this show, 29th and whatever, and 28th in this, and 30th in that, and this offense stinks, and this offense doesn't have an answer, and if this offense doesn't have a long-term solution at quarterback, could Allen Robinson at the end of the year
leave?
Say, you know what? After wanting this extension, I'd rather not talk. And you, like, the only way I'm staying is you franchise me, but I'd rather just go play for a different offense and thrive somewhere else.
Listen, I mean, he would, I would have sympathy for his perspective if that's what it was. He chose the Bears. But the good thing about how Allen has done his deals is he's going to get another bite at the apple, the third contract. He's young enough that he still has a tremendous amount of value, and he can pick where he's going to go. Like, if you, I know he likes the, you know, or at least what he's told us, he likes the organization, he likes the feel, he likes all. But if you could go somewhere and maybe make a million less, but you had a better chance to win, or you were going to get utilized more. I mean, he could make some of that stuff up, maybe in bonuses if he reached.
Think about like a team like Houston who traded Hopkins for a stupid reason, who then fired the general manager. Watson's going to need a quarterback. There are so many teams around the league. Green Bay was interested in him before. Oh, yeah. Like, there are so many teams that will pay for wide receivers these days that you say to yourself, "Okay, money was important to me and still is." But now I'm looking for that quarterback that I know that I'm going to be able to live up to what I can do. Because is any position is tied to another position like a wide receiver?
No, I think it's a good point. And listen, when all this conversation was happening, it was the first couple weeks of the season, right?
Yes.
Well, what we've seen is nothing but more of the same offensively with regard to the struggles and the struggles in the passing game and the quarterback and all that other stuff. So, like, his appetite for wanting to sign that deal and stay here, maybe it's changed. Maybe his perspective on where this team is headed from an offensive perspective, maybe it's changed a little bit. Like, if they came to him and said, "Okay, Allen, here you go, $22 million a year for 5 years," he's taking it.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay,
they're
I'm
not
just saying.
Offer him that. Yeah,
I'm with you. I think this. I'm not so sure. It's not a mutual feeling right now that they just hit pause. That's how I would, I mean, from a more than an arm's length, that's how I perceive it.
There are many games where the Bears just hit pause on their offense. They just pause.
Oh, they hit rewind. It wasn't
rewind
pause.
Yeah,
they hit
going
rewind.
Back in time.
Yeah.
Three. It's an old VHS tape of the same old Bears offense on rewind.
Here's their problem too, brother. Going forward, they're going to have to spend significant money upgrading their offensive line.
Because they keep screwing up and don't draft
absolutely.
These guys.
I sent you guys the tweet from Field Yates today, didn't I? About what the Baltimore Ravens have done in the first round of it since 2016.
You want to give that as we start Waddle's World?
I can dig that up.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, that's how you build the team. You wonder why the Ravens are a Super Bowl contender every year? Because look at the foundation pieces they draft in the first round.
Well, they did it with what Ozzie did it for years, and then he passed the reins to Eric DaCosta, I believe is who it is, and now he's doing the same stuff.
Yep. 332-3776. We'll play you some Matt Nagy sound coming up at 4, but some fun as we head into the weekend with Waddle's World.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Oh, yeah. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. All right. This is what I was talking about before the break. I was talking about a tweet that Field Yates had put out there that I had copied and sent to you because it was referencing the Ravens' first-round picks since 2016, and we have struggled at times with our first-round picks, haven't we? Isn't that fair to say?
You think? Yes. The building blocks offensively especially.
Since 2016, these are the Ravens' first-round picks. And if I'm not mistaken, most of these picks are late in the first round, right? Because the Ravens are consistently winning.
Yes.
So you're not getting top five. These aren't top five picks. 2016, since the first-round pick since 2016, Ronnie Stanley. He just happens to be an all-pro who just signed a contract extension worth $100 million.
5 years, $100 million extension today.
Yeah.
It was announced.
Yeah, he's one of the 60% of the all-pro offensive lineman group from Notre Dame that played for Harry Hiestand.
The beat writer who covers Notre Dame for The Athletic tweeted out something that Notre Dame's starting offensive line in 2015 are now currently playing on contracts valued at $174 million.
It's Stanley, it's obviously Quentin Nelson, and is it Zach, what's his name, from the Dallas Cowboys? Isn't the third guy the Cowboy? A little help? Maybe Zach Taylor, not Zach Taylor. Cowboys offensive. You guys can just leave me hanging like this. This is cool. I got it. No,
we're
I got a problem
looking.
With
the point cool. of the point of the
Zach
tweet.
Zach Martin is it? I believe
the point of the tweet is, you know who they were coached by too. Like Carmen was saying, and Harry Hiestand coached them, came over to the Bears then, and now all of a sudden he stinks.
I think Harry was also a guy that was very much recommended by Olin Kruetz too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, he coached the Bears offensive line in those Lovey years.
Right.
He was the O-line coach.
All right, so Ravens first
second stint.
First round pick since 2016, Ronnie Stanley. We just talked about him.
Zach Martin, Waddle.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Marlon Humphrey, who's also an all-pro and signed a $97.5 million extension. He was a first-round pick. He was from Bama, Roll Tide, right? Cornerback from Bama. Lamar Jackson, you know who he is? He's an MVP. You know Lamar?
Is he going to start playing like an MVP soon again?
That I'm not 100% sure of, but I believe currently, as I go to the standings in the league, that the Baltimore Ravens are 5-1 with Lamar Jackson under center.
Great game.
Hayden Hurst was their first-round pick late in the first round. I believe he was traded.
To Atlanta.
Yes, and they turned that second-round pick, which was 55th overall, into running back J.K. Dobbins, who's had a nice start to his career as a Raven. Hollywood Brown was a late first-round pick. He's got 8 touchdown catches in his first 20 games as a pro. And Patrick Queen, who was, I believe, a linebacker from LSU, the national championship team, if I'm not mistaken, is currently the Ravens' leading tackler.
It's how you build a team. And you get guys up. You got a quarterback. Everything
depressed.
The Bears haven't done.
Like,
they have their quarterback of the future.
My shoulder slumped.
And they are drafting foundation pieces on the line and important line position.
Look at my shoulders. They started to slump. Like, my shoulders are slumping now. Like, that's just a kick in the nads. I mean, like,
we got Tariq Cohen, though.
That's fine. I mean, he was a fourth-round pick, though. He wasn't a first-round pick.
I know. Waddle, it was Zach Martin.
Thanks, buddy. Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, as we told you yesterday, has tested positive for COVID-19. I believe he will be eligible to come back if everything goes well for their game against Notre Dame next week. But this week, tomorrow against Boston College, he will not be in uniform. Look out for the Eagles. Look out. I'm telling you.
Do you really think so, or do they just put in the next guy who's going to be a great
Okay, they may because
too.
They're the number one team in the country. But I'm just telling you, under new head coach Jeff Hafley, the Boston College Eagles are for real going forward in the ACC.
Do you guys
don't,
say
I see a
Eagles
smirk.
Fly?
I see a smirk building on Black's face right now. I don't know if it has anything to do with Boston College, but I'm just telling you, the arrow is pointed in the right direction for Boston College on the football front.
They've had a good start, 4-2.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's been a good start. You guys don't care. The Tigers have signed AJ Hinch as their new manager. Sylvie's shoulders just started to slump over that.
I would think Sox fans feel about that. Somebody in The Athletic wrote an article today who covers the Tigers, and a team source told him that they're thanking the Chicago White Sox for this, that they felt that they did not have a chance at AJ Hinch because he wanted that Sox job.
One man's trash is another man's treasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think White Sox fans that were even... Do you think there's the majority of White Sox fans that were itchy and scratchy about Hinch because of what happened with the Astros would be more forgiving of that fault now knowing that
yes.
they decided to choose La Russa
It was 87% against.
I always want to call him La Rosa's because La Rosa's was the famous pizza from Cincinnati when I was growing up. So
you know,
I always
we have La Rosa. La Rosa was in Skokie, too.
Oh, really?
La Rosa Pizza, yeah. I used
from
to go there with
Cincinnati?
My grandparents. What's that?
Was it from, did they
no,
bring it from?
It was on Dempster in Skokie.
I got it. I mean,
no,
though,
it
was...
didn't come from Cincinnati. I'm we just don't asking. Look, we don't say, this is Chicago. Oh,
this is
question, Chicagoland. We don't say, you know where they have really good pizza? Cincinnati. Let's get one of their places over here. You
asked.
Guys look at us, and then you just guys, asked. And then you then put stupid
no,
like,
no, no,
spaghetti
no, no.
And chili
no, no,
on your
no,
hot
no,
dogs.
No, no, no. We don't try to, we don't take a meatloaf. Stick it in the oven, pull it out, and show it to you and say, here's some pizza. No,
you
you're right. We don't do that in Cincinnati.
Thin
we don't do
crust
that.
Bar-style pizza, bar-cut pizza is our style pizza, too. It's not just deep dish. Don't start with this meatloaf.
So defensive about pizza.
Don't disparage
like, don't talk
it.
About my pizza like that. Pizza, like you're talking about it, like you're defending it like it's your child.
Well, it is. Some days they sleep later than my children do. And they don't
pizzas
give me
do?
As much crap. Yes.
Love my pizza. You were a good boy today, you sausage and pepper pizza. I'm over here. Sit on my lap.
Ooh,
pizza.
Pizza. Yeah, yeah.
You're a weirdo.
I'm going to have to order one this weekend.
One?
Yeah,
one's
one.
Never enough.
One. It's
you.
One every couple weeks now.
Major,
don't,
really?
Don't splurge Liar. Too much.
Major League Baseball owners have okayed the Mets sale to Steve Cohen.
Yep. You hear Jerry Reinsdorf was against that too. I've been being serious.
Really?
He didn't. He wanted A-Rod to own the team.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I can't tell. You got
No, I'm being serious.
You got pizza sauce all over your face.
No,
I can't take you serious
Post.
Right now.
Yes.
The Rays have declined the option on Charlie Morton. And, guys, college football show hosts. Schedule for all 37 bowl games has been released. I think you guys will probably go over that tomorrow, won't you?
Yes, all of them. 37, yeah. You said?
Yes.
All 37, yeah.
37 bowl games.
Picks for 37 picks.
Is there a Cheez-Its bowl? Is there a Cheez-Its bowl?
I don't
this year?
Know the names okay, of all right, of them, but...
Right. Tax Slayer? Is there a Tax
ESPN,
Slayer Gator Bowl?
ESPN will televise 35 of the 37 games during bowl season.
Awesome.
Amongst college football Twitter, the big one is the Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's the big one.
Oh, yeah.
The
Duke's Mayo.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's a mayonnaise?
Duke's Mayo. It's a mayo with a little twang.
I've never heard
Excuse
of it.
Excuse me?
Duke's
Look
mayo.
It up. It's called the
Does
Mayo.
It does have a little wang to it.
No, twang.
We said
a little
twang.
Wang. Yeah.
Twang. I said twang.
It's a line from
Check
a movie.
The tape.
By the way, I thought AJ swore twice, but he said
shipped.
Shipped.
Yeah,
I really got scared.
Bleck looked at me with, like, I think all the blood left his face, and I looked at him and I said, shipped. And I did this little motion with my hand.
Did you just
switch chat, too?
I said shipped. Shipped.
Okay. Bleck, it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
He said
motion.
It, I'm like, AJ swearing on the air.
Well, then I thought about the context, and I was like, he's going from spot to spot. He means moving, not...
Yeah. And the Broncos have had an offensive lineman test positive for the coronavirus.
You just got to move. I mean, it's moving the drill now, right?
Yeah, they have postponed
out of the way
practice, but they intend to practice tomorrow and play Sunday.
Yeah, that's the way it's been going.
So
it can continue.
That's all I got for you. When we come back, I'll bring you the nuttiest story of the day and a little something we like to call Florida or Ohio.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I scare you, Chris, when I accidentally hit the on button as opposed to the talk back button?
You didn't scare me, but I was interested to find out what you were so excited to talk about.
I did not swear.
No, you didn't.
What did you want to mention to them? I heard that, too.
I forgot. What was it about?
Purdue Pete.
That's where I'm going right now. Purdue Pete arrested at McDonald's for alleged battery and disorderly conduct.
Is that our nuttiest story of the
day?
No,
it's not.
Wow.
It's an extra. It's a
nuttier?
Bonus. I said bonus story.
We get nuttier?
It's a bonus story. Joseph Desmond, a senior in the Cranert School of Management and Purdue Pete. He's Purdue Pete, was arrested on multiple charges at McDonald's Around 2 a.m. on October 11th, according to a probable cause affidavit filed a few days ago. The officer advised that two men were allegedly fighting in the parking lot. One hit the other with his vehicle. Purdue University Police Department officer reportedly had Desmond in handcuffs and was speaking to the alleged victim, who the other officer reported had sustained multiple injuries. A McDonald's employee identified Desmond as the driver of the vehicle that struck the victim, which Desmond later denied, according to the affidavit.
So that Purdue Pete is the mascot for Purdue University.
Yes. The officer reported that he was immediately met by the overwhelming odor of an alcoholic beverage on Desmond's, or we'll just call him Purdue Pete's breath. And that the student reportedly had watery eyes and slurred speech. You couldn't tell, though, because he was wearing his costume.
Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I do on Saturday? Run around. Jump, make you jump. Purdue Pete. You can't arrest me. I got diplomatic immunity. Purdue Pete.
Purdue Pete.
You don't know. You don't know who my dad is.
Who's your dad, Pete?
Purdue Tom. And my mom is Purdue Patricia.
Well, why don't you get in the back of the car, Pete?
You don't tell me what to do. I got diplomatic immunity.
What's diplomatic immunity,
Pete?
Means
when I'm on a campus, I can do whatever I want because I'm Purdue Pete. I got a lineage. Lots of Purdue's before me.
Hey, the nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Hey, Pete, a night with Screwball.
This is going to get nutty. And guys, you know what today is. It's Friday, so it's time for the Screwball sign-off for me to tell you what that is.
Don't forget today.
Don't call now. There's a lot going on last week. Don't call now. I swear to God, if you call now, I'll send Purdue Pete after you. And you can't stop him because you're a diplomatic immunity. Today, we are giving away, actually, our fine partners at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey are giving away not 50, not 100, not 150, but $200.
Ooh, it's a lot of stuff.
To the old Chris Black and Adam Abdallah staple, Kirkwood.
Oh, the woods. All right, Kirkwoods, what's up?
It is a Indiana/Nebraska bar, so just wear red and you'll be right at home.
Not Purdue.
It is not a Purdue bar.
You should do a fantasy football segment as Purdue Pete tonight.
You should.
Where people call in and they ask you for your
tips.
We only have an hour.
We have a lot of bits to get to already.
702.
Yeah, 702.
Yeah. Taking requests. Purdue Pete's taking requests.
So around 5:50 tonight, 5:50 this evening, before the end of the show, when Mark Giangreco graces with his presence, we'll tell you when to be caller 20. You'll be caller 20. You'll get $200.
I think Giangreco would be a great mascot. Guy in a mascot uniform.
Oh, I'm sure he's got crap out of people.
Doesn't have that kind of stamina.
So, okay, you done with that?
You tell me when I'm done.
I'm ranking.
You should be a blue chew for Halloween.
Conducted by online education platform Shaw Academy, according to a press release, simply asked 1,000 American respondents this question. What treat did you look most forward to on Halloween as a kid? The question purposefully open-ended, allowing for a broad range of responses. Again, I'll ask you because I sounded like Purdue Pete there. What treat did you most look forward to finding after trick-or-treating on Halloween?
The large-size Three Musketeer bar.
That is not. They have this listed by generations. I got Gen Z, Millennials, Gen Xers, and Boomers.
Twix.
So what are we? What are we? What are Sylvie and I? We are
Gen X. Well, I'm Gen X, I believe.
I think I am too. What, you're only what, 4 years behind me?
Right, but there could have been a cutoff.
Okay, so I'm going to say we're Gen X. What's Gen Z? Anybody know what a Gen Zer is?
Yes, it's someone younger than a millennial.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's someone born after 2000.
Okay, so let's go with Boomers. I'm not a boomer, despite what you may think.
Oh, they're like the Hershey bar. Just a plain Hershey bar.
When were you born?
67.
Okay, yeah, you're a Gen X.
1867.
Oh, you're not. No, you're
Gen,
no,
I'm Gen Xer.
That's a Gen Dead.
The boomers chose Snickers as their top selection, followed by Reese's, Milky Way, a caramel apple, and a Tootsie Roll.
That is not bad. Those are five things that I could get after.
Gen Xers, number one. Us.
Twix.
Twix didn't even make the top five, bro.
Kit Kat.
Kit Kat was number three.
M&M's.
Kitty Kat.
M&M's.
M&M's did not make it.
M&M's are so boring.
Well, jeez, come on.
Plain Jane over there.
Yeah, maybe a peanut butter M&M.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup number one. Followed by Snickers number two, Kit Kat number three, Milky Way number four, and an Almond Joy number five.
The millennials
you take your
are,
Almond Joy and get out.
You guys are like, you're going to go like gummy bears, right?
Number millennials.
One, Sour Patch Kids.
Take a guess.
I'm looking at it, so I know the answer.
Then Chris.
Well, I know Reese's peanut butter cups are, everyone loves
number
it, so
one,
I'll give you that number
yes,
one.
Yes, universal, regardless of age. Number two.
Number two, give me a, let's go Snickers.
You are 100% correct. Number wow, two is simpler. Snickers. How about number three?
Milky Way?
No. That's Kit Kat.
Bad.
Kit Milky Kat. Way. Kitty Kat.
Kit Kats are good. See, I told you.
Number four you won't get. You
won't
guys
get,
listed.
But I love it. And
candy
I don't care
corn?
If it's a horrible take.
What?
I love candy corn. Oh, I love
wow.
candy
get
corn.
Out of here. Like the first 10
care.
Bites are good.
Yeah. Broke listen, candy. I'm not eating like a whole bag of candy corn. I'm having like one or two pieces, right. And then I'm moving on.
What is it, wax?
I don't know.
Followed by Twix. And then the Gen Zers, Reese's, Snickers, Kit Kat, Twix, and a Hershey bar.
So I like Hershey's with the almonds.
Those your
no
candies.
Skittles? No Skittles.
No Skittles.
Skittles are so gross.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you can't. You show yourself out. Oh, Skittles are gross. That's just dumb. That's a dumb statement.
We have Florida, Ohio.
How about we do that when we come back? Or do we? What are we doing?
We got some White Sox news, and we got Florida, Ohio.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there we go.